Okay, today's stuff is Kuf Chaf. We're going to start at the bottom of Kuf Yutet Amabet. Just to review quickly, we saw a machloket right before the lines get wide. We saw a machloket yesterday between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about whether, when it said in the Mishnah about this, the Tosefta, about the bones that had a little bit of meat at the end of them, or they had meat and then the bone was a yad and it went inside the house, but without the meat, just the bone. So, and there wasn't enough of a zayid in each of them. So the bone, we say the bayit is ma'ahil alehem. They each had a chatzi zayid. So they said the bayit was tameh, and Yehuda ben Akusa said, what do you mean? How could you join this two for kazayit? So Rish Lakish said, lo shanu ela etzem, to have a yad. Aval nima lo have a yad. He says, this whole din about it working, meat is only a bone, but not a hair. And Rabbi Yochanan said, even a hair, yes. So then Rabbi Yochanan, now we're going to have Rabbi Yochanan brought a question on Rish Lakish. We're going to have three versions of what exactly happened, which, as I said yesterday, is going to affect how exactly they view the machloket. When they talk about a nima, are they arguing about a nima, just an individual piece of hair, which we said was kind of difficult? How could Rabbi Yochanan even think that that functions as a yad? Or were they arguing about a whole bunch of hairs together, but if one of those hairs were to kind of, you know, be next to those other hairs, but separated from it, and that hair goes into the house, and it's attached with all the other hairs to a piece of meat, then is that the machloket, or does that everybody agree with? Of course that's a yad, and the question really is about an individual hair. So what we saw yesterday was that Rabbi Yochanan brought, I'll just very quickly review, he brought this source, Or sheyesh alav kezayit basar nogeh betziva yotze mimena, which they assumed was yihad, and then they say, no, that case was a shomer. And then they say, what do you mean? Isn't that shomer agave shomer? Because there's a yad on the skin. And then they said, oh, no, it was where the hair punctured the skin, and it was actually on the meat itself, meaning it was a shomer. That was one option. And they asked a side question about tefillin, which I'm not going to review. We'll actually review it today because it's going to come up in one of the other versions. And then we gave another answer, which is that maybe it wasn't midin shomer, the hair was actually midin yad. Okay, if we say it's midin shomer, then this source says nothing about our machloket whatsoever, because our machloket is about yad, and this is a source about shomer, which is what we saw earlier in the daf also, right? We keep bringing these sources, and it's not clear whether the item is mishum yad or mishum shomer. So now we get to the second answer, which is, it's really mishum yad, and the case is benima shebein hanimim, right? It was one hair among a bunch of other hairs, like he says in this other source, which again, we'll review that again today later. I don't want to reread everything. And then it comes out that what? If you have one se'ar ben se'arot, everybody agrees that that's mishum yad. So according to the first version, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about, which if I say Rabbi Yochanan, that means there's a machloket about it, is about one hair. Okay, according to this, he thinks that one hair could still be Mishum Yad, and Rish Lakish says no. And everyone agrees, hair among many hairs, if it was attached to a whole bunch of hairs, and that was attached to the meat, even though only one hair goes into the house, that's going to be Matame because it's connected with the meat. Second version, Lishna Achrina, we're now five lines from the bottom of the page. Amrei La, some say that what happened was, okay, so again, Rabbi Yochanan brought the argument, that here, or sheyeshlab kazai basar nogeh betziva yotzei mimena basarah shekenegdo do tamei my lab mishum yad. Rish Lakish says lo mishum shomer, meaning this has nothing to do with anything. And then Rish Lakish answered and said, furthermore, hachinami mistaber de mishum shomer. I can even prove more so that it's mishum shomer. De isal kadatach mishum yad. Nima achat lamai chazei, because if you want to say it's yad, what on earth could one hair be used for? Kida amar Rabbi Eli, just like Rabbi Eli said about the other source that we saw, which I'll just read you the source from. Okay, I guess they'll say it here, which is he explained this other source. Bimelai shaben hamaleim, hachanami binima shaben animi. Right. So Rish Lakish says I can further prove this by bringing Rabbi Eli that it's talking about a shomer. Vehecha itmar de Rabbi Eli. In what case did he say it? Ahad itnan hamelai shebashibalim mitamim umitamim. Right, the strands that come out of the stalk of the chita of the wheat, those can become tame and they can be mitame others. Ve'ein mitzdarfim. So now they say again, melai lamai chaze. For what are these worthy of? Amar Rabbi Eli, Bimalai Shabin Hamalei. Okay, in which case, he then further proves, according to this though, why would it be Mishum? All right. In other words, what he says is he brings this source to prove that clearly one hair would be nothing. How do we know? In other words, he says this must be Din Shomer, because the assumption is they're talking about one hair. If they're talking about one hair can't possibly be a Yad, in which case it must be a Shomer. How do we know it can't possibly be a Yad? Because that source, which talked about, was talking about a Yad with the Chitim, and they explained, Rabbi Eli explained, it must be one among many. So according to this now, you would have that everyone would agree that one hair could not be Mishum Yad, right? One hair is not Yad. Even Rabbi Yochanan would agree, which then shows that what's the machloket? B'nimasha ben animi, right? That they would argue specifically about Sara ben Hasarot. Would that work? Okay? Again, and that was by explaining that that's, right, that that source that Rabbi Yochanan brought against him can't possibly even be talking about a yad. Okay, next. Ika demat'ne la'amat'nitim. Some people say that the whole argument started from our Mishnah. Well, why? In other words, it wasn't, okay, the Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, when they made their statement, it wasn't about that source with the two bones with the half a kazayit. It was about our Mishnah. Ha'or baharotev akipa b'chule mitztarfin l'tamei tumat ochlin. Okay, so now we have cases where, right, it says they're also atzamot. Okay, so now what's the din of atzamot in our Mishnah? Amar Rish Lakish, lo shanu ela etzem dehave shomer, aval nima lo havya shomer. He says, now here the discussion has nothing to do with yad. It has to do with the bone functioning as a shomer. According to the first version and the second version, the machloket was about in etzem, right? The machloket was about a yad, and then it got into se'ar from there. According to this version, they're saying etzem can function as a shomer, but a hair can't function as a shomer. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu nima ha'nami havya shomer. So according to this, right, the first two versions of the machloka was all about can a hair be a yad or not be a yad. And then the distinction between the first version and the second version was, are we talking about one individual hair there's a machloka about, or are we talking about a hair from a bunch of hairs is the machloka? According to this, the machloket is not about yad. It's about could a hair be considered a shomer. So then, now we're going to get to our typical case. What are we assuming? The hair is on the skin, right? So now the question is going to be, Amar le Rish Lakish le Rabbi Yochanan, you claim a hair is a shomer. I think not. And here I'm going to disprove you, because umi'i kashomer agabe shomer, right? The hair is on the skin, and the skin is a shomer already. How could you possibly have a din of a shomer agabe shomer? Rabbi Yochanan answers, it's interesting because then the question comes from Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan and not Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish. There's a bunch of different differences in this version. That's another one. So now, what does Rabbi Yochanan answer? Chuchule mechalchel, right? It's a case where the hair pierced through the skin and was directly on the meat. So then we're going to have the same question we had when we said this answer last time. Matkif la'ravacha elameata tefillin hechi katvina. And how do you write the tefillin then? Habina k'tiva tama. If the hairs go through, puncture the skin. Veleika. And then we don't have k'tiva tama, right? We said that comes from uchtav tam. K'tiva tama, smooth writing, which means without nicks in the parchment. Ishtamitite hadam rav marava, right? The response is he forgot what they said in Eretz Yisrael. Kol nekev shadio over alav eno nekev. Okay, so all that is not, right, it's not considered a hole if the dio fills it in. And the assumption is this would be a small hole that the ink would fill in the hole. Then etive Rabbi Yochanan the Rish Lakish. So then on this, Rabbi Yochanan comes and questions Rish Lakish. Or sheyesh alav kezayet basar, hanogea betziv hayotze mimenu, ubesara shekenegdo tamei. Now, if he's going to bring this as a question, obviously, what's he going to claim? That this isn't talking about yad, like we assumed last time, that he's talking about shomer, because the whole machloket is about shomer, and he wants to show here, look, if you touch the sarasha kenegdo, right, you're going to be tamei, right? So, my lab mishum shomer. So what does he answer? Lo mishum yad. No, that source has to do with yad, not about shomer. So now if you say it has to do with mishum yad, now you have a bigger question, which is, at the machloket, it was all about could a hair be a shomer or not. But now, what about a yad? You're going to say an individual hair is mishum yad, nima achal, lamai chazia. Maybe you could somehow say a hair is protecting it, but how could, even though that is also kind of difficult, but how could you say that one hair could actually hold a piece of meat, right? And you would hold the piece of meat using the hair? So, again, the answer, kedama rabi ilad, bimalai shaben hamalim, hachanami binima shaben animim. And now, again, because we're assuming these are all separate versions, we get to, well, hecha itmar de Rabbi Eli. Where did actually Rabbi Eli say this? Haditnan on the Mishnah, hamelai shebeshibalim mitamim umitamim. Ve'em itstarfim. So again, they ask the question on that Mishnah, milai lamai chaze, in other words, how could one strand of the wheat stalk be relevant for anything? Am Rabbi Eli bimelai sheben hamelim. Okay, so according to this version, everything was about shomer, right? And then the other source that seemed to contradict, oh, no, that's Mishum Yad, not Mishum Shomer. And then that's about a Yad Bein, right? One out of, one strand out of many, together with many strands. Okay, so this is like cutting and pasting. There were things that were kind of known about this, but there were three different versions about how it all came about. And obviously then you're going to have different conclusions about what the machloket is, and then therefore what the halach is. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Okay, we're finally getting back. Harotev. Okay, we haven't really dealt with, we've been dealing with all other stuff. Now we're going to get to what exactly is this rotev. My rotev, amareva, shumna. It's the fat that, kind of ends up as gravy. The way we have gravy. What's the gravy? It's the fat of the meat. Amar le'abaye. What do you mean? If it's the fat of the meat, hu atzmo yitame tumat ochlin. That would be regular tumat ochlin, right? Our Mishnah says ha'or v'harote v'akipa v'alav v'atzamo v'agidim v'akarnay v'atzlapayim mitzarfin l'tame tumat ochlin aval lo tumat nevela, right? They're mitzareit for tumat ochlin, but they're clearly not on their own mitame tumat ochlin. But if it's the rotev from the meat, well, that's the meat itself, basically. It's stuff that came out of the meat. That should be mitame tumat ochlin. Ela chelev dikarish. Okay, so he says it must be it's the fat that's congealed, which you wouldn't actually call the meat itself. That's not food. Okay, the fat that congeals. Now, does that right? Think about your gravy. If you leave it in the fridge after, it's fat that congeals. Nobody eats that. That's not food. Okay, or even if you would eat it, it's not really considered food. It's only kind of secondary to the meat, and therefore it'll be mitzarif, but it's not actually mitame. So now they say, my iria karish, kilo karish nami. What's the difference if it coagulated? It could be, the fat itself anyway would be not edible food. Damarish lakish, sir shal gabe yerek, mitzaref l'kikotevet b'yom kipurim. He says, I just want to check one thing here. Okay, so the Gemara is distinguishing here between the gravy that came out of the meat, like the fat, the sort of, the gravy, the juices that comes out, versus the chelev, which that's actually food. The chelev, the karish, they're claiming is some other juice that comes out of liquid that comes out of the meat that's not actually usually eaten. So now they're going to say, if it coagulates, okay, Rashi calls it, he says, lecha yotzeit min abasar shekorim glare, okay, right, which they call glare. That's what I was going to say, that as you saw there in the note, it says glare. This is something that's not really, really edible. So then they say, it's like we saw the word sear. Remember we had the word sear before? The sear is the brine that comes out of it. I don't think they mean brine as in like a you said before, salty. It's not salty brine. It's just some sort of liquid that comes out of it. That's not really food. So they say here that according to this, only if it's karish, right, is it mitzarif. Because we're going to distinguish now between rotev, that's really gravy. That's actually the food itself. That's mitame tumat ochlin. That's not what the Mishnah refers to. The Mishnah is referring to this brine that comes out that coagulates. So now they're going to say, what's the difference if it coagulates? Even if it didn't coagulate, why? Damarish lakish, sirsh al gabe yerek, mitzaref l'kikoteva b'yom kipurim. There's this liquid that comes out of, right, let's say you make a salad, right, and you have some liquid that comes out of the vegetables. Imagine you didn't dress the salad and there's just some liquid at the bottom. So if you ate that on Yom Kippurim and you didn't have enough of a shear, you need a kikoteva d'agasa, the pit of a date, to be machayev on Yom Kippurim. Or the date, right? It's the large date. The question is it with the pit or without the pit? That was the question. That's why I had the pit in my head. So if you want to get to the shiur, right, you're chayav b'yom kippurim if you eat that shiur. Let's say you ate vegetables a little bit less and the juice of the vegetables combines, now they say. So if that's the case, it sounds like it shouldn't make a difference whether it coagulated or didn't coagulate. Just like by Yom Kippurim, we say this liquid is mitzareh. It should also be mitzareh for Tumat Ochlin. So why did you say specifically Chelev de Karish, the coagulated? So the answer, don't compare Yom Kippurim to Tumat Ochlin. Why? Hatam mishum yitu v'datahu, b'koldehu miyat v'dateh. On Yom Kippurim, the whole issue is what will satiate you or make you feel better, right? And then to take away your inoy, so to speak, the opposite of, you know, you're supposed to, you should sort of torture yourself on Yom Kippurim by not eating. And any little bit, even this liquid, will satisfy you somewhat. So therefore, it'll be mitzdareth. But hacha mishum mitzdarufehu. But here we're trying to figure out, is this a food or not? Here we're just trying to establish, if it's a food, then it's going to be mitame tumat ochlin. If it's not a food, right, it, therefore, e-karish, if it coagulates, then it's already considered more like a food. But the liquid of it, e-lo karish, lo mitzdarif. Nobody will eat it like that at all, and therefore it's not mitzdarif. Or even if they would eat it, they don't really, they're not interested in it. What are you confused by?
I understood it as yeah. The opposite, that it's mitzaref means it's not a food, and therefore it's considered to be mitzaref, it's not by itself. Because before we said...
But, well, it's not a food, but it's closer to a food than if it's not coagulated. In other words, what?
As coagulated, it's considered more of a food?
If it's karish, then it's enough of food with the meat to be mashlim l'kabetza. In other words, we have a range. We have rotev, which is completely food, and is, let's say you just have rotev in the amount of a kabetza, that will be mitame. Okay. Then you have the chelev karish, which if it coagulates, then by itself, if it had a kibetza, it wouldn't be b'tamei tumat ochlin. But with the meat, it could complete a shear of a kibetza. And then you have chelev that isn't karush at all, just this brine by itself, that which is liquid, that doesn't count for anything. However, when it comes to Yom Kippur, that would count to be mitzdarif. It just doesn't count for tumat ochlin because that's nothing, basically. Okay? That's not even, right? There's close to food and then there's not food, right? There's not food at all. Va kippa, my kippa. What is this kippa? I'm a rabba, or is it rabba or rava? Yeah, it should say rava. Firma. Okay, it's the meat that gets stuck at the little pieces of scraps of meat that are at the bottom of the pot. So again, Abaye says, I'm a Abaye, what's mo yitmacha what ochlin? If it's little scraps of meat, that's actually really food. So el amara papa tavlin. He says it's the spices that get... That gets the spices itself that kind of end up without the meat. You end up with some spices that are kind of stuck together, which aren't really food, but they can be mitzaref. Now we're going to quote a Mishnah. Tanan hata. Hikpa et hadam. So now we're going to talk about liquids in general. Okay? So this is all about, right, we had this chelev karush, the rotev, right? What's the status of liquids when it comes to all sorts of things? Okay, this is a Mishnah. Oh, actually, it says here in the Masoret Hashas, Eina Mishnah, okay? It's not actually a Mishnah, even though it says Tanata. Hikpa et adam ve'achlo. Okay, now we're talking about Isur Dam and Isur Chelev. Now, Dam is generally a liquid, and Chelev is generally a solid. Okay, now, when it comes, right, it says, lo tochlu et adam. Now, generally, when we say achila, we mean solid. We don't mean liquid. Okay? Except for when it's clear they meant liquid, like lo tochlu et hadam. Obviously, they meant when the dam is liquefied, because dam is usually liquefied. So what if, but when it says lo tochlu et hachelev, the assumption is it means while it's a solid. So what if you reversed each item? Hikpa et hadam, you cause it to coagulate, v'achalo, and then you ate it. O, himcha et hachelev, you melted the chelev, v'gma'o, and you sipped it. Chayav, you be chayav anyway. Bishlamahi kpat adam ve'achlo. I understand if you turn dam into a solid form. Kevan de'akpe achshuve. Since you caused it, you did some process to it, the assumption is you consider that important. And since it says lo tochlu, and that's achila anyway, then we're going to say you're chayav. But ela imchat achila v'gama'o, achila k'tivei be'. V'halav achilahu. Okay, notice here they don't care that you did some process to it and made it important, because in the end, you don't have an achila here. Okay, there's two things going on. Number one, did you consider this significant? But that only works if you're also doing an achila. In the case of dam, you're doing an achila. It says, lo tochlu et hadam, so don't eat it when it's a liquid in its natural form. Obviously, the pasuk included that. And it also included in a solid form if you particularly wanted it to be in a solid form. But by chelev, it says, lo tochlu, which means just achila and not shtiyah, not drinking. And therefore, if you drank this, it sounds like you shouldn't be chayav. So how could we say you're chayav? So Amar Leish Lakish, Amar Krai is going to learn this from a pasuk, nefesh. Lirabot et hashote. Okay, where's the word nefesh appear? Ki kol ochel chelav mina be'ema asher yakriv mimena yishel Hashem, v'nichrita hanefesh ha'ochelet me'ameha. Could have just said, v'nichrita me'ameha, right? Why did it say hanefesh ha'ochelet, right? Nefesh means, kind of includes something additional, right? It's a little bit rachok. We're going to use this word nefesh in a lot of cases now to include someone who drinks. Okay, the assumption is that since it add this word nefesh, that means that it's going to include, you can look in Rashi. Rashi says, midachtiv v'nechirta nefesh, nefesh mashma kol davar ha-miyashev da'ato shel adam, va'afilu shoteh. Okay, and he proves it from, im yeshet nafshechem. Okay, and what does it mean, im yeshet nafshechem? If it would please you. So what does it mean? Anything that pleases you, so if you liquefied this chelev and you ate it, well, clearly it pleased you to do that. So because it was in your rutz zone, nefesh kind of includes, right, what you wish, what you want. So because of that, they're going to include the shoteh. Okay, so that's the case of chelev and dam. Really, chelev, because we want to talk here about liquefying things, because the dam anyway was a liquid. Tanya nami gabe chametz. We have the exact same thing by chametz. Okay, so let's just list our cases, because we're going to start going through all our cases. We have, the first one is chelev, that liquefies from the word nefesh. We're now going to have chametz, okay, liquefied chametz. So you're going to be chayav on Pesach if you liquefy chametz, because it says you can't eat chametz. Eat sounds like eating. Himchehu v'gma'o, okay, tanya gabe chametz ki hagavna, the same way. Himchehu v'gma'o, im chametzu anush karet. Okay, if it's chametz, if you kind of, you liquefied a piece of chametz, then, and you ate it, you're going to get karet for eating it on Pesach. If you liquefied the matzah, though, you're not going to be yotzei your chiyuv of matzah. Matzah has to be eaten in a solid form. Bishlama im matzah hi ein adam yotzei yedecho vato b'pesach. Why is that obvious? Because lechem oni amarachmana, v'hai lav lechem oni. I don't think they mean the oni part. I think they mean this isn't lechem, right? This isn't bread. Something liquid you would never call something. Even if you took bread and liquefied it, you wouldn't call it bread. Okay? And therefore, you have a chiyuv of lechem oni. Ela im chametzu anush karet, achila k'tivei be. Right? It says achila. So how could you be chayav if it says achila? This isn't achila, this is shtia. It's interesting because you might have just said very simply, just like when you have masculine and includes the feminine, right? And in the Hebrew language, generally you say eating. Eating means drinking also. But obviously they don't view it that way. They really think eating is a solid form.
I think the argument to me seems so unnecessary because a lot of these items can be liquefied. You can puree bread or you can puree matzah, but it still won't become liquid. It'll become a powder. Or whatever. So,
right.
So
I'm trying to think what exactly, how you would exactly do that. I'm thinking of those juices people make in a juicer, you know, you could eventually get juice out of it. Also, if you took like the wheat kernels, I wonder if the wheat kernel itself maybe has a little, you know, if you took the wheat, I don't know.
They didn't have. Like you said, they could just include eating with drinking.
Right, right. Drinking it would have been simpler to say that. I don't know why they're so motivated to come up with some sort of drasha why they don't think that's included. And again, the bottom line is they do include it. The question is why it takes them so long to get there instead of just saying much more simply that. Amar Rish Lakish, Amar Kra, Nefesh. Also there it says Nefesh. Where? Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelu, Shmot Yubet Tevav. Ach Ba Yama Rishon, Tashbitu Seor Mebatechem. Ki Kol Ochel Chametz V'Nichrita HaNefesh Ahim Yisrael. Also there it says Nefesh. Lirabot Et HaShotem. Okay, so there we have Chametz, also Nefesh. V'tanya nami gabei nevelat of tahor. Also by the nevela of of tahor. Okay, remember someone who eats the nevela of of tahor, what happens? While it's in his mouth, then he transfers tuma, right? He's tameh, the gadim become tameh, and right, anything he touches while it's in his throat becomes tameh. So tanya nami gabei nevelat of tahor, ki agavna, in the same way, himcheu be'or tameh, Bechama tahor. Okay, if you liquefy it with fire, it's tameh. If you liquefy it with the sun, by the sun melted it, then it's tahor. So now, obviously, what are we talking about? It's the chicken itself, right, is not going to be liquefied. They mean the fats that come out of it. Vehevinam ba, so again, you'll be metameh if you're eating liquid that was liquefied by fire. So while it's in your throat, right, you're going to be transferred to him. But not if you something was liquefied by the sun. V'havinam ba, so now we're going to focus on the first part, the case where it's tameh. V'havinam ba achila k'tiv be, right? But it says achila there. So how are you going to include this, right? Because it says, v'chol nefesh asher tocha nivela utrefa, v'chibes v'edam, right, etc. V'chibes v'edam v'chatz v'mayim v'tameh v'erev v'taher. So here you see it says, Tochal, achila, samarish lakish, amakra, nefesh, lirabot etashote. Notice the beginning of that pasuk said, v'chol nefesh asher. It didn't say, v'chol ish, v'chol adam, right? It said nefesh. So therefore, again, by the veil of tahor, we have nefesh. There's one side thing that we have to resolve, which is, why by the fire and not by the sun? So, yihachi b'chama nami. So what are the answer? B'chama isruche misrach. It gets rotten. It's spoiled. That's not considered achila of something that's spoiled. Okay, so therefore, it wouldn't be if it was by the chama. Now we're going to talk about, right, this goes back to what we had the other day. Why do we have all three? Why wouldn't you just learn one from the other? So we're going to go into this dizzying, thing about, can we learn one from the other? Can we learn one from two? All those possibilities, why not? Utsricha. Di'i katav rachmana chelev. Okay, what if you just had chelev? So first of all, chametz lo atemine. You couldn't learn chametz from it. Why? Because shekein lo haitalo shata kosher. We're going to assume chalev is worse than chametz because chametz at some point you could have eaten before Pesach. Now you can't. But chalev you were never able to eat. Nevela lo atemine. And you couldn't learn nevela from chalev. Why? Shekein anush karet. Because chalev is anush karet. So chalev has two things. Right, it's number one, never had a shat kosher, so you can't learn from there to chametz. And as soon as it has some tzal chamor, we're going to say, well, maybe that's why liquids are included. But if you have something more kal, then not. And it's anush karet if you eat chelev, and nevela of tahor, there's no onish karet if you eat it. It's just that you become tameh at that moment, right? You can transfer tumah at that moment, but it's not asur b'karet. Okay, so let's try number two. Ikat avrachmana chametz. So chelev lo atimine shekein lo hutar michlalo. You can't learn chelev because chelev was not hutar michlalo. Right. Chelev is more chamor from chametz because there's no sort of... One second. If you had chametz, chelev couldn't be learned from chametz because chametz is lo hutar michlalo. Okay? Chametz is more chamor from chelev because chametz is lo hutar michlalo. Now, what does that mean, hutar michlalo? There's some, okay, we're going to say the chelev is hutar michlalo. What does that mean? We're going to get to it, okay? It's not so clear, but what it means is there's some sort of heter for chelev. There's some case where you can eat chelev. We're going to talk about what the possibilities are. There's two possibilities about what the heter is. But chametz has no heter whatsoever. You can never eat chametz, right? Because once it becomes Pesach also, it's chametz shavar alava Pesach, okay? So you can't eat it. And also, while it's usher, you can't, there's no heter for chametz. Unevela lo atimine. Why can't you learn nevela from chametz? So that's the same as we said before. Shekein anush karet, right? It's also anush karet. Okay. So just to review, we have chelev has two chumras by it. What were the two chumras? It was it's karet and lo hayalo shata kosher. Okay. Chametz we now have two. We have lo utar michlalo and anush karet. Okay. Now the last one. Beikat Rachmana benevela hani lo atimine shekein mitama. Okay, it has the power to be mitame. None of these others are mitame. So this has some other level to it that doesn't appear by the other two. So maybe you'd say, because it's metame, we'll include liquids, whereas since the others are isure achila, it's different. So you can't learn from there. So they say, fine, chadem echad eloati, you can't learn any one from the other, but teite chadem itarite, maybe you could learn one from two. So, hey tite, which ones? Lo lichta rachmana b'nevela. Let's just try chelev and chametz to teach you to nevela. B'teite mihanach. But what could you say is the common denominator of chelev and chametz doesn't appear by nevela? Anush karet, right? They're both anush karet. So malahalach shken anush karet. Okay, can't do it. Lo lichta rachmana b'chametz. So let's try to get rid of chametz. And now you have chelev and nevela. B'teite mihanach. So they say no, because malahalach shken lo aita lehen shata kosher. Both nevela and chelev never had a time where they were allowed. Lo lichta rachmana b'chelev, so maybe let's get rid of chelev. V'teite mihanach, okay? Then we can learn from chametz and nevela rov tahor. So now you can say no, because malahanach shekein lo utar michlalan, tomar b'chelev shutar michlalo. Those are never permitted, and chelev does have a way it's permitted, so maybe it wouldn't apply here. Okay, umaynihu, so now what is this utar michlalo? Maybe you'd say, well, it's true you can't eat the chelev, but we always talk about this. The counterpart of chelev is what? It gets burned in the mizbeach. So maybe you could say, what does it mean, utar michlalo? There's a case where it's mutar. It's mutar to be burned in the mizbeach. That's a bit weird of a heter, but okay. So they say, nevela nami ishtere. But you could say the same thing by nevela, and they just said that it's not utar michlalo, because what could you say? Milikat of legavoa. There's a case where you don't have to sheft it, right? You could have a nevela. What's a nevela? It means it wasn't shefted properly. In the mikdash, we don't actually properly sheft, right? If you did malika outside the mikdash, right, which is when the kohen takes his finger and he kind of shefts the neck of the, you know, kind of killer, knocks out the simanim of the bird without doing a proper shechita, that's dafka the way you do shechita in the mikdash. But outside the mikdash, that would be called a nevela. So there is a case where nevela of tahor is mutar. Also legavoa. So you can't use gavoa because then that wouldn't make any sense with what we read. But ela chelev chaya lehedyot. But we could say the chelev of a chaya, right? The chelev of a behema is asur, but the chelev of a chaya is mutar, which means that there's a case of chelev that's mutar, right? We don't have a distinction of what types of chametz, right? All chametz is asur, but chelev of a behema is asur, but of a chaya is mutar. But nevela nami ishtrei malika dechatara of lekohanim. But you can find a case where something's mutar to hedyot. Okay, hedyot here means not gavoa, not for the mizbeach. What's that? If you do malika on the oaf in the Beit HaMikdash, the oaf of a chatat, the meat goes to the kohen. So here you have a case of nevela, where it gets eaten by the kohanim. It is mutar to a non, you know, gavoa. So what do they answer? No. Still, we're going to stick with this answer. Lo'olam chelev chaya lehedyot. Udekakash shelach kohanim. Kohanim mishuchan gavoa kazachu. That is if it's saying it's legavoa. Okay, you can't call that hedyot. Because they really eat, whatever they get to eat is really eating from the Shulchan HaKodesh, you know, the Shulchan of God. Okay. So now we have our three chelev, chametz, and nevela rov tahor. Now the Gemara says, v'hadetanya hatme'im. Remember we had this drasha about the tme'im, about the shirat sima tme'im. The word hatme'im came le'esur tziran v'rotvan v'kipa shalahem. Lamali. So now we have another one, which is when it comes to Tumah, right? We're going to say that the tzir and the rotev, right? Not tumah, kashrut, right? When it comes to kashrut, we're going to say that the tzir and the rotev and the kippah of a non-kosher animal is going to be asur. We learned that from Hatmeim. So now, that's all, right? Or tzir and rotev are liquids. So why do we need a special pasuk? Why don't we just learn it from those three? So, tzriche, why? I'm just going to be dizzying. De'ilo katzav rachmane. If it didn't say that, what would you say? Havamina, tayo lavo menadin liyot kanidon. We're getting chazar on all sorts of things we already learned recently. That if you learn something from something else, whatever's true for that will be true for that, but things that aren't relevant in those cases, you won't be able to learn to this case. Mahatam, now what's the difference between this? Mahatam, actually, this is shretzim. Right, mahatam adiika kezayit, apacha adiika kezayit. Okay, the shear, you would only be able to learn the shear of iser of a liquid from those, and the shear for iser for those three things is a kezayit. But here, the shear is going to be much smaller, right? It's keadasha, I think it is, right? This is, just 1 second, I'm confused though if we're talking about Chuma or...
It is Adasha.
It's Adasha, but it's Tumeim. Right, it's Metame Becha Adasha, right? That's what it is. It's Metame the size of a lentil. Okay? So therefore, you would say, maybe the Tzira and the Rotev and the Kiva, if we're going to learn from all these others, will only be Metame if you have a liquid in the measurement of a Kazayit, and not a Becha Adasha. Therefore, you need the Pasuk to teach you that it's also in the size of Ka'adasha. Okay? So now they say, okay, well now that we have that, why don't we just learn from the Shratzim Pasuk? Right, this is Shratzim, okay? So, sorry, it's not an Inyan of Kashrut, it's an Inyan of Tuma. Okay, my mistake. It's relating to Tuma because it's Metame B'chadasha. So now they say, V'lifta Rachmana B'shratzim, V'leitu Hanach V'ligmere Minayu. So why don't we learn all the others from here? So what do they say? Mishum De'ika L'mifrach. What's the Chumra by Shratzim? That it's such a small measurement, right? So you'd say, Malish Ratzim Shaken Tumatam B'mashu, right? They're Matame even with a very small amount, right? They don't really mean a mashu, but, right, a Ke'adasha. And therefore, we wouldn't be able to learn from there, right? Because it's Chumra, right? It's got a Chumra that's not by all the others. Okay, now what about this? V'haditanya Hatevel, V'chadash, V'hekdesh, V'shvi, V'kilayim. Kulan mashkima yotzi mehem kimotam minalan. So where do we learn now? It says in a braita that if you have tevel, right, that's fruit, you didn't take trumot masrot. You have chadash, right, that it's from the new crop before they bring the korbana omer. Hekdesh, you designated for hekdesh. Shvi, it was produce that was that you grew on the shnat hashmitah, or that you didn't do it after, right, you're supposed to, once there's nothing in the fields, you have to destroy everything in your house, and you didn't. And kilayim, how you crossbred. Kulam mashkima yotzi mehem kimotan. Anything that comes out of these is going to be forbidden as if it was the item itself, meaning liquids or aser. So now they're going to say, minalan, where do we learn those from? V'chi teim aligmar mehanach. Why don't you say, let's learn it from all these other, right? We now have four cases we can learn it from, you know, at least the common denominator of all of them. They say, no, because malahanach shekein isur habame elav havu. Those are isurim that are inherent. Okay? Some of these isurim are man-made. They were created by man. Okay? So now they're going to say, well, it depends, right? Tinach, this whole list breaks up into two. Hechad yisur ba'me'elav. Tinach hechad yisur ba'me'elav. Okay, so now, of the ones where the isur is ba'me'elav, there's actually a machloket Rashi Tosfo, which ones are ba'me'elav and which ones aren't, okay? Because tevel, in theory, you could say, well, you grew them, you right? But most, let's just go with the basic. I think it's Rashi who says this. Hekdesh is the main one that's not Bamei Elav. Because Hekdesh, the man says, I'm designating this to Hekdesh, right? The others, Kilayim, you could also kind of say, you grew it, right? It's a little tricky exactly where to put all these things. But some say it's not like you like Tevel, you didn't make it to be Asur, right? You kind of, or make it to be its status of Tevel. You grew it, and the status of Tevel kind of came upon it once it was grown, and it is a debate about exactly what that is, but let's just assume some of these are Yisur Bameilav, and that we can learn from all these others. But Hechadalav Yisur Bameilav Minalan. So what are the answer? Gamrina mi Bikurim. We learn it from Bikurim. Okay, well, that didn't help us. That's not on our list, okay? So now we're going to have to add another one to our list, right? We now have Bikurim. So Tevel and all those others, we're going to assume either we learn it from these because they're Isor Habame Elav that was inherent to it, and the ones that wasn't inherent are going to be like Bikurim. Why Bikurim? Because Bikurim, the owner designates them on the tree, designates them as Bikurim, and decides to bring them. So that's more similar to Hekdesh and things that are, you know, that came by man. So Bikurim Gufayu Minalam. Where do we learn that from? Detane Rabbi Yossi, Pri. Pri Atamevi, Vi'i Atamevi Mashke. So here's the braita. It starts up by saying you're supposed to bring Reshit Kol Pri. So Pri sounds like the fruit itself, right? You would never have thought Bikurim, you could bring juice. But now they say, what if Hevi Anachim Vidrachan? There's a debate about what exactly this means. Some people think you brought the Anavim to the Mikdash, and in the Mikdash, you stepped on them, you know, and kind of turned them into wine. Could you still bring those? Talmud Lamar, Tavi, because it says the word Tavi, right? It says, V'lachatam Rishit Kol Pri Adama Asher Tavi Me'aretzecha. It could have just been Asher Me'aretzecha. So why does it say Tavi? To include, even if you, now again, you didn't bring them as liquids, But you had them as liquids, you had them as solids, and then at a later stage, you stepped on them. You know, you turned them into a liquid. So now we're going to say, so from Bikurim, we can learn to Hekdesh and anything else that's the Isur is, you know, something you put upon it, right? It's not an Isur Haba Me'elav. So then they say, but wait, Ikalamifrach, Mala Bikurim, Shekein Tu'unim, Kriya V'Hanacha. There's special laws about Bikurim. You have to do Mikra Bikurim, you have to say this text along with it, and you have to be Meniach Otam. And that doesn't apply to Hekdesh. So, Ela Gamar Mitruma. So they say, okay, so let's learn it from Truma. Notice Truma wasn't on our list either. So now we have another one. So Truma Gufa Minala, where do we learn Truma from? De'it kashla Bikurim. Truma we learn from Bikurim, and then from Truma we can learn to Hekdesh, because Truma is more similar to Hekdesh. You know, it's not something you put upon it. You designated this part is going to be Truma, right? That's your designation. Tamarmar, how do we know it's it kashla Bikurim? Because it calls Bikurim Trumat Yadecha. Because it calls them Trumat Yadecha, from here we can learn that Bikurim is Truma. Okay, we can learn from Bikurim the Truma. Elu Bikurim, Ma le Truma, okay, so now they say, wait, but Ma le Truma, Truma also has a Chumra. Shekein Chayavin Alam Mita B'Chomesh. But Truma has another Chumra, which is Mita and Chomesh, meaning if you eat them by accident, if you're a czar, you're not allowed to eat truma, you eat them on purpose, you get mitabi de shamayim, and you have to pay the value of it plus chomesh. So they have their own chumra, which doesn't appear by hekdesh. Ela gamar mitravayhu. So they learn from both. Mitruma ubikurim. So then they say, that doesn't really help you though, because Bikurim has the same, if we just said we learned the dinim of Truma to Bikurim and Bikurim to Truma, so Bikurim also has Mita and Chomesh. Ma le Truma Bikurim, Shekein Chayavin Aleim Mita v'Chomesh. The two of them together have that Chumra. So that doesn't help you. Ela, Ata Mitruma v'Chad Mehanach. Oh, mi Bikurim v'Chad Mehanach. When they said Mitruma Bikurim, they meant Truma Bikurim independently with one of the others, because the others don't have Mita and Chomesh, and therefore, and these don't have the Chumras and the others, therefore, you can take any two of those and learn from there. Okay, that's basically the main thing here. Now they're going to say, V'had etnan dvash tmarim v'yein tapochim v'chomet sitvanit v'shar minei peirot shel Truma, Rabbi Elazar Mechayev Kerem Chomesh, Rabbi Yeshua Poter. So now we're going to talk about this Mishnah that talks about liquids that are liquids. Now, you have to remember, maybe I'll just give you an intro today, and then we'll start with this tomorrow. Truma yurchayev for dagan tirosh v'yitzhar. That's what it says in the Pasuk, which means that truma de'oraita, most people say there's a machloket about it, that it's just on grains and wine and oil. Now, wine and oil in their natural states are liquids, right? Tirosh and yitzhar means the wine and the olive oil, right? So the question is going to be, what about liquids? So they say midrabbanan and yochayev truma on all other fruits and crops and things like that. What about liquids that come out of those, like yein tapuchim or sitvanit? They say chomet sitvanit are grapes that are not ripe. They're very hard and they're sour, and you generally we used to make vinegar out of them. That wouldn't be chayav, right? You're only chayav on yain, tirosh, right? Good wine, not from grapes that are bad. Or yain tapuchim. Okay, so what do we do about dvash tmarim? All these things, ushar minei peirot shel truma, so there's a machloket. Let's say the assumption is you were mafresh them as truma, but then made a liquid out of them. And then a czar came along and ate them. So is he chayav Karen and Chomesh if he did it accidentally, or if he ate it accidentally, or is he patur? Okay? So the question is going to be, b'may plige, what's the machloka between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer? So they say, okay, let's stop here for today, and we'll pick up with this tomorrow and talk about this thing. We're now going to get to how do we view liquids of truma? Are you chayav truma for them if they're not olive oil and wine? Right? Olive oil and wine, for sure you're chayav, because that's truma according to the Torah, but things that were generally just a fruit, right, that you're a chayav mishum a fruit, and also you're chayav midrabanan, are we going to be chayav you also? So most people view the sigur that we're talking about, are we chayav midrabanan, karen and chomesh, okay? Unless you somehow say that truma is also d'oraita on those things, and maybe then it's d'oraita, there's a bit of a debate about how to understand it.